Folks, welcome to worship at Advent, especially on this National Coffee Day. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you declare your almighty power in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace that we, running to obtain your promises, may become partakers of your heavenly treasure through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
First reading this morning is taken from Amos. A life of comfort and security can be deceptive. Better to withstand discomfort now than to be left in arrears at the coming of God. Woe to you who are complacent in Zion, and to you who feel secure on Mount Samaria, you notable men of the most foremost nation, to whom the people of Israel come. Go to Kalnuk and look at it. Go from there to Hamath, and then go down to Goth and Philistia. Are they better off than your two kingdoms? Is their land larger than yours? You put off the evil day and bring near a reign of terror. You lie on beds inlaid with ivory and lounge on your couches. You dine on choice lambs and fatted calves. You strum away on your harps like David and improvise on musical instruments. You drink wine by the bowlful and use the finest lotions, but you do not grieve over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, you will be among the first to go into exile. Your feasting and lounging will end. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read in unison the psalm found on page 4. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help,
whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps his promise forever, who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who are hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. He sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, through all generations. Hallelujah.
Second reading is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 19. As we are accustomed to the rhythm of God's life and his desires, we become both godly and content. What more could we seek? These things will not come from placating our baser needs and desires. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you were made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Gospel of the Lord according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In our readings this morning, it's fascinating leading up to the Gospel. Scott read from Amos, "Woe to you who have a lot but don't do anything with it." And in the Psalm, the Lord cares for the stranger. In Timothy, the encouragement to Christians is to do good with what you have. And then here in this teaching in Luke 16, 19 to 31. It's complex. I want to address it in a few minutes, but just listen clearly to what Jesus says and try to interpret for yourselves the words. "Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all of this, between us and you, there's a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' But he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' But he said to them, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
For me, the gospel is really a challenging story to try to understand what it means. There are different nuances to it, and I want to informally throw some things at you to consider. To me, one of the striking things at the very end, Jesus says, "Even if someone rises from the dead, they won't hear." That's prophetic of what he would do, because there are many after his death that still will not believe. And Jesus was, this teaching is specifically for the religious people of the day, the Pharisees, the scribes. And Jesus was saying to them, in effect, in my understanding, that you are like the Pharisee, or rather, you are like the rich man. You have much, but you guard just your own turf, your own settlement. You don't care about others. Whereas all of Scripture says, care for the poor, the stranger, the widow, the orphan. And in this teaching, Lazarus is like that widow or orphan, and the rich man shunned. And the Pharisees, in many ways, would have done that, treating someone like Lazarus as unclean, that he probably lived a bad life, or his parents before him did, therefore he deserves what he gets. Whereas I, who have everything that anyone could want, must deserve it. And obviously, neither one of those is true. So I want you to hear a part of what Jesus said. There are some who say that this is a parable. Others say that it teaches a part of what Jesus sees in eternity. And there might be some truth in either one. But the concept is that he talks about a separation, a gulf, like what's here between the altar rail. On one side is the rich man who is in agony. In Scripture, Hades is divided into two, Sheol in the Old Testament, and there's the place of those who have died outside of faith, sometimes called Tartarus or the place of the dead, and then Abraham's bosom, which Abraham was the father of faith, that place is called paradise. In the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, that's the word that's used for the Garden of Eden. And so it appears that in this story that the rich man was separated by a huge chasm in a place of torment because he could not receive the truth. And on the other hand, in the place of Abraham's bosom or paradise was Lazarus. Jesus talked about paradise when he was on the cross with the repentant thief. Today he'll be with me in paradise. That's the place of the dead. And here's the concept that seems to be in the Old Testament, then coming up to the New Testament, that in Ephesians 4, there was this separation, this gulf in Hades. When Jesus went to the dead, he went and spoke to those who were in the place of the dead and took with him into the kingdom of heaven those who were in paradise, those who were waiting for the fulfillment of the prophecies, the many saints in the Old Testament. Now, is that a complete understanding of what Jesus said? Of course not, but I believe it's a part of it. And what is important is that we are not saved by what we have done or haven't done. We are saved because we trust in God's word and in who Jesus was. But as a result of that, there ought to be evidence of a change in our heart that we do care for the stranger, for the widow, for the orphan. We do good with what God has given us. We don't, like the rich man, just provide for ourselves and seek to put barriers around what we have. To me, it's a fascinating teaching. Jesus said in John 5:24, "Truly, truly, I say to you," now hear this, "he who hears my word, believes him who sent me, Father God, has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." We don't know in this story the circumstances of Lazarus, but I'm asserting that he was like someone who has heard what Jesus said, passes out of death into life, not because he was poor, but because he'd heard the truth and was then like the thief on the cross with Jesus. It was a parable very much against the spiritually elite. And in our day, that would be you and I. We know the stuff. We know the story. And the question is, are there ways in which we have insulated ourselves in such a way that we just care for our version of reality and our version of the truth? And if someone comes in with a different story or someone who doesn't look like us, we tend to not want to associate with them. Whereas Jesus, we read it throughout Luke, you've heard it in several Gospels, that he who has ears, let him hear. In Luke, it says several times that sinners and tax collectors came to Jesus They were people who had needs in their lives and who were able to hear. And so a part of what I would like you to think about this morning, and I don't mean this in any negative way, but are you listening? Are you hearing the Holy Spirit speak through God's words? We have already had some part of the liturgy. We'll have more in a little bit. We'll confess our faith. Do you believe what you're about to say? When you join with me in a prayer of confession in a little bit, if you believe in your confession of faith, that means that you believe that Jesus actually died and rose again on your behalf. If you don't believe that, it's just words. It has no impact anywhere. And Jesus is saying over and over in Luke, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And there were so many in his day when he walked and taught and did miracles that could not hear the meaning of what he said, that salvation, redemption has come. And because it didn't come in the way that the Jewish leaders believed, they rejected him. They were looking for someone on a white horse to ride in and ravage the Roman Empire and make it again the empire of God's people. So that is an introduction to this teaching that to me is so challenging. I want to share with you five wrong assumptions that I see, at least in this teaching that Jesus had. One wrong assumption is that the rich man said, "Father Abraham." He called on Father Abraham, who was the center of Jewish faith, the father of faith. And to be a child of Abraham is to be a child of God. He was a Jew by descent, but not necessarily a child of Abraham from his heart. It's like my background. I was raised in a Lutheran church because my parents were Lutheran. I was not a child of God because I was raised in a Lutheran church. I became a child of God when Jesus became my Lord and Savior. It changed everything. And that's such an important thing to grasp. Association with a good church like this and with good people isn't what makes you a child of faith. It's your personal relationship with the Lord. And the rich man did not grasp that. The Pharisees did not hear that. Then a second thing, the rich man in a way believed that his status would continue in eternity like it was on earth. He even said to Father Abraham, "Send Lazarus to go get some water for me. I am rich and refined. He was a poor man. Send him to get water for me." What that means for me is that that we struggle at times in this life. We have disappointment, we have pain physically and otherwise. That does not continue in eternity. It is a temporary thing, both for good and for bad, that in eternity there's a transformation that happens. We're told that as Christians, we receive glorified bodies. Then a third assumption is that the great gulf between heaven and hell can be crossed. And that isn't true. There are some who teach what's called universal redemption or salvation, that at the end, God is a God of love and can't separate anyone from himself. And that's not what Jesus is teaching here. He's saying that this gulf, this chasm is permanent and there is no crossing over. That. And what that means for me is that after my death, there is no do-over. There's no chance to say, "I missed it. God, would you forgive me?" Our choices end with our death. And that's why the rich man was forever separated from Lazarus and from Abraham's bosom. So that's how eternity works, and why it's so important that we hear and understand the choice that we make now is forever. And then a fourth wrong assumption. Some people are entitled to special treatment. The rich man believed that. "Father, send someone to my father's house so that my five brothers, can hear the truth." No. How people come to Jesus is through his word and a personal decision. There aren't elites who get waivers or who get special treatment. We are all on level ground, whether we are rich or poor, famous or infamous, that we come through the same narrow gate, which is faith in Jesus Christ. And then, and finally, the last one, a miracle will bring about repentance is another wrong assumption. No, it won't. Think about this. Jesus rose from the dead and revealed himself to multitudes, but many could not receive him because he didn't come in the way that the religion of that day expected the Redeemer to come. I have seen in my life, I have seen many, many healings, many miracles in different parts of the world. The key is not seeing a wonder and saying, I want that for myself. The key is, who is the one behind the miracle? Who's the one behind the healing? That is what brings transformation in our lives. Hearing is so important. He who has ears to hear. Are you listening to God's word? Are you hearing him speak to your heart? Is repentance a part of your regular experience that you know that you have failed God? You will say you failed him by thought, word, and deed. Is that true for you today? It will bring freedom and release for your life. I want to close with this scripture from 2 Peter 1, 16 through 18. I love this. Peter is saying this at the end of his life. For we do not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. Peter is referring to God the Father as the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain, the mountain of transfiguration. We are not following cleverly devised myths or tales. We are telling you and following what we saw and heard, and it has changed our lives. And that is where I encourage you to be, that you are at a place where your decision about the chasm has already been made. You have decided for Jesus. Now, because of that, you want to be like Timothy, like the Psalm, doing good for others, caring for those who are different than you, not because it earns you anything with God, but because it's the right thing to do. It's why we are here, to make a difference in the lives of others. Amen. Let's now stand and share together our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
This morning's prayers of the people are found on page 6 of your bulletin, Form 5. In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love, and be found without fault in the day of your coming, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Archbishop Welby, for our presiding Bishop Curry, for our own bishops, Hollingsworth and Love, for all bishops and other ministers, especially Pastor Paul, and for all the holy people of God, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease and that all may be one as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in positions of public trust, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, we especially ask that you pray for those on our prayer list found in the bulletin and that you remember them in your prayers. For refugees, for prisoners, and for all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, for those that are present and for those who are absent, that we may be delivered from the hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, our friends, and our neighbors, that being free from an anxiety, they may live in joy, peace, and health, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the communion of your church, that those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints they may have rest in a place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all of our life to Christ our God.
To you, O Lord, our God.
And if you join with me on the following prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal for us the influence we should take, for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for making the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and upon each one of us every day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Now let's share that. Sure. John, peace. And with you.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, Jim. So,
just call on Jim.
Yeah, he's looking for the mic. Not there. Okay. Yeah, but
I didn't take something. Open inside. We got extras.
Good morning. So rumor has it, Joan, that you would like to say something.
Many of you know my daughter, Wendy, and her husband, Jim. Jim went into surgery on Tuesday for a cancerous tumor on his kidney. They tried to save both kidneys by taking just the bottom
Thank you for sharing that, Joni. We're going to have a prayer here in just a minute. But also, probably each one of us, in one way or another, has been touched by drug overdoses and deaths due to drugs in our society. And we're taught that when one of us is in joy, we are all to be joyful. And when one of us is weeping and grieving, then we are to grieve and weep together. Jan Nagy brought to me this morning that a family member of hers has died from drug overdose. I assume this is the family member that, Jan, you've talked about over the years. This has been a long, ongoing struggle. So let's lift up in prayer Jim and the Kelly family during this time. Lord God, we pray for your healing touch on Jim Johnson. We pray, Lord, that you heal him, that you eradicate the cancer that was in his body. We pray, Lord, that you bring about restoration and redemption in that spirit as well as that body. Lord, we pray that the October 14th fundraiser will bear much fruit. We pray, Lord, that you support Jim and Wendy and their family during this time of concern, fear, uncertainty, and also joy. Help them, Lord, to praise you in this storm. Lord, we also lift up the Kelly family and Jan Nagy and other family members during this time of grief. Lord, love them, support them, lift them up. Help them to feel your arms hugging them, giving them hope, giving them encouragement. We pray, Lord, that you are with them, walking in this storm, right alongside them, holding their hand, loving them, being faithful to them. We pray this in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So let me also put a plug in for our Revelation Bible study that is occurring at 9 o'clock between services. A lot of us have read or tried to read the book of Revelation and found that the symbolism was oftentimes so daunting and insurmountable that we put it aside and said, I can't do this. I don't understand what's going on. Well, we are blessed to have Dr. Charles Stanley interpreting that symbolism, interpreting the meaning behind the symbolism, and he did so again in a powerful way this morning. The other thing that struck several of us during this morning's session was that he listed 7 reasons why the Roman Empire was persecuting Christians during the 90 AD time when John wrote the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's remarkable that those 7 reasons that Charles Stanley gave for why the church was being persecuted almost 2,000 years ago apply to our culture and our society today. I encourage you to come to the Revelation Bible study. I encourage you to take part. This is an opportunity to have the book of Revelation unraveled and unpacked by a man who is gifted beyond belief in communication as well as Bible interpretation, Dr. Charles Stanley. 9 o'clock every Sunday. There's a note in the bulletin about Love, Inc. So Love in the Name of Christ is one of the ministries that Advent supports. This is kind of certainly a nationwide ministry, but locally they provide food, clothing, other supplies, and sometimes limited money to families in need. I know that family members in Advent have been recipients of that aid from Love, Inc., and certainly Love, Inc. provides aid and support to many others outside our own church family. They are appealing during the month of October for coats that can be cleaned and then given to the homeless and disadvantaged. So please look through your closet. Each of us probably has one or more coats, jackets, whatever, that we don't use anymore or that we use so infrequently as to be able to give it up. Wouldn't be a sacrifice. But please bring those coats into the church during the month of October, and we'll hand those over to the Love, Inc. folks. Ray, you wanted to comment?
Good morning. Good morning. You look in the bottom right-hand corner, I put a message in there, and I want to thank everybody that kept their mind in the gutter. We have reached our goal of $4,200, and we're going to have the gutters and downspouts replaced. Thank you very much for contributing to this. It did not come out of the budget. This was all money people pledged, so thank you, the family at Advent here, for doing that. The other item is a catch basin in the corner of the driveway over there with the blue bucket over it. I did put out a contract with Scott Such, and as soon as he finishes up some other projects, he's going to replace that catch basin, and you'll see the blue bucket disappear. Thank you. Pete.
Good morning. Gentlemen, it's time to gather again. Men's Night Out is going to be at the Berea Union Depot in Berea. This is going to be on the same night that Joni's gathering is going to be on the 14th. So, if you wish to go to that, do so. I can't do any other night, so unfortunately, I've got it set for the 14th, so if you wish to come to mine, fine. But if you prefer to go to Wendy's benefit, do so. Thank you.
Finally, there'll be someone to pray with you and back during communion. Peace be with you.
As we prepare for the Lord's Supper, let's present our offerings to the Lord.
Thank you.
We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, creator of the light and source of life, who has made us in thine image and called us to new life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. We remember that on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup, and he gave it to them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is given for us. The gifts of God are for the people of God. I invite you to come in faith and receive. That's what you call teamwork. That's what you call teamwork if one person forgets. Please join with me in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard and keep you until life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
folks, appreciate all that the Lord is doing in your life as you go in peace to serve him.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.